What's up, everybody? Welcome into Sports Talk, our Friday, January 31st edition. Cannot wait to get out of this month.
February 1st, baby. Super Bowl month. One more football game. We got one more game.
We got the Pro Bowl flag
and
football game, too.
Superb Owl. That's what it is. Yeah, that flag football game. Like, just stop calling it the Pro Bowl. Let's call it something else. We need a new name. That's just silly.
I didn't even watch the skills competition stuff that was going on last night. I saw a few of the highlights on social media, and that was good enough for me.
Yeah, they're having it's like a kid's birthday party. Yeah. It's like I don't really care that much. Like you go like because they're having a good time, but you're just like, can we go? Can we leave? You know, it is what it is.
Yeah, I miss the good old days of the QB competition where it was just the ball with a little bit of paint on it and the target.
Why can't they just do that? Like I enjoy
the longest distance throw.
Like I enjoyed that.
Right.
Like, why can't we just do that again? Anyway,
try to make things too complicated.
Yeah,
I guess
they have fun. I'm glad they're having a good time.
It was interesting to see. I don't know if you saw one of the catching stations, I guess, whatever you want to call that event, where Justin Jefferson had to put on like these huge hands to try and catch a football.
I felt bad for Eric McCoy last year because the only thing they could figure out the centers to do is like, let's long snap. But like centers don't long snap.
What do you get to do this time around? Just the dodgeball?
I didn't pay attention to it. I'm going to be completely honest. But I watched it last year and I was like, why are they having Eric McCoy long snap? He's never long snapped in his life.
That is our sole representative from the New Orleans Saints there in the Pro Bowl. So
and
congrats to Eric. Yes, for sure.
Seven games, man.
Exactly. Seven whole games this season. Hopefully a lot healthier next season for Eric McCoy because, man, oh, man, in that week three.
And he left two of those games in the first quarter.
When he left that game week three early on, was like the start of the whole descent for this team.
If you ever wonder how important Eric McCoy is to this offense, just go back to weeks 3 through 9, and you'll be like, man, that was bleak. And it's funny, like I go back to those first two games of the season, and I'm just like, I don't think they were a complete mirage, right? Like, I don't think you drop 40 points in two games by accident. And you're like, oh, they're just beginner's luck. I'm like, no, they were good. They were playing well, and everything just fell apart, and it all started with that injury. It was like, There's two seasons, one where everything was going well and then one where everything went terribly, and Eric McCoy's injury was the cutoff.
No, I saw a clip of yesterday. They were like, remember the 2024 Saints highlights and Derek Carr's there grabbing his crotch and moonwalking. I was like, oh, week two.
What? I mean, the Saints have been putting out all of these like year-long highlight reels, and 90% of them have been like weeks 1 and 2.
And that's
it's crazy. Like Derek Carr's is like 7 minutes long. The first 4 minutes. It's his weeks 1 and 2, right?
I guess towards the end of the year, you had a few highlights from MVS.
Yes.
Those were nice plays there. But other than that, definitely a rough go for this team. And still, the team without a head coach, as everyone likes to bring up constantly, we know that Kellen Moore is obviously still in the mix for this team. I don't know what folks are expecting to hear out of the process, though, because nothing can be officially solidified, signed, sealed, delivered until after Super Bowl.
Yeah, it is kind of weird because the news of today, the news that got everybody talking, is that there will not be any news until there is news, and that is news in and of itself, right? That is actually pretty telling news, and it's because, the Saints are looking for a head coach. They're still looking for a head coach. Everyone else has hired their head coach. They're moving on. They're hiring Cardinals offensive line coaches as their offensive
assistants
coordinators.
Assistants are going off the board, right.
And all of this stuff. And the Saints are still in a holding pattern saying, who's our head coach going to be? I talked to assistants at the Senior Bowl, and they're just like, we'll see what happens. I have a job right now. I don't know if I have a job in 3 weeks. And, they're checking in with everybody. And Michael Hodges out in Cincinnati. And,
right.
Clint Kubiak out in Seattle. And Derek Foster's interviewing in Dallas. But the Saints are kind of just sitting there like, all right. And the reason that's notable, and we've talked this to death, but, Darren Rizzi, Anthony Weaver, Mike Kafka, if any of these guys were your next head coach, they would be your next head coach right now.
Totally agree, right.
The only reason you would drag this out until after the Super Bowl is because you want Kellen Moore. Now, it is notable, in my opinion, that they're not calling these coaches and saying, we're moving in a different direction, don't waste your time, don't hold your breath, right?
Right.
They could do that. They're not doing that, and you could argue, oh, well, they just don't want it to look like where they're tampering. Like, the Eagles got in trouble for tampering with Jonathan – I'm sorry, the Cardinals got in trouble for tampering with Jonathan Gannon the last time the Eagles were in the Super Bowl 2 years ago.
Right.
They ended up having to swap, like, mid-round picks. So I think there is a level of that. Like, they don't want it to appear as if they're tampering. But I also think, like, I don't know if this is a done deal. Guys, and we're going to talk about it all week as if it's a done deal. I don't know. Like, I have been burned too many times in the sense that every time I think something's going to go the way I think it's going to go, it doesn't go that way. And until there's pen to paper.
Right, exactly.
I'm not convinced this is going to happen. Like, even if they want it to happen, because here's the thing. If I'm the Eagles, I don't want to lose my offensive coordinator again.
Again, right.
You know, and I have a week to just be in the guy's ear and, you know, kind of soften him up, make some crazy offer. The Bucks to Liam Cohen offer, right?
Yeah.
And who's to say? Even if there's anything verbal right now, so I don't know. I'm just saying this is a very very important don't count your chickens quite yet. But at the same time, I do believe that Kellen Moore is the clear front runner and the Saints are clearly very interested in him. Otherwise, they would have made a move by now.
Agreed. Yeah, like you mentioned, there's the other coaches that are waiting in the wings, and if Kellen Moore had made that decision already to them and let them know, listen, I'm going to hang around here and, yep, you know, wait for another job in the future, they would have made a hire with somebody else by now.
Yeah.
But you would imagine, like you said, that Kellen is the top candidate, but you can't dot the I's, cross the T's until after the big game on February 9th.
No, and again, that's the danger of doing it this way. It's the most stressful way you could hire a head coach, to wait until after the Super Bowl. In a few different ways. One, obviously, you can't finalize anything, and a lot can change in 2 weeks, right? On the other side, it's like, you got a lot of decisions you got to make down the line that you cannot really make a move on yet. There was a report that he's already kind of getting a short list of candidates together. You know, a guy like Doug Nussmeier would make a lot of sense. Garrett Nussmeier's father.
Right down the road.
Yeah, he's the Eagles quarterback's coach, former Saints player, right? So there would be a lot of things that you could figure out kind of in the interim. But, I mean, there's coaches in the building that, you know, you got to interview. You got to figure out if they're going to stick around. Jari Evans talked to him, and he said he feels good about potentially staying around, but he doesn't know. He's gotten calls from other, you know, entities.
He's saying, like, worst comes to worst, Sean Payton will give me a call. I'll be on Zach Strief's staff over there.
Right, he'll have a job. It's just a matter of where it is, and I think that's kind of the, you know, the NFL head coach, assistant coach dynamic of, like, everyone wants to stay in the NFL. They just don't know where it's going to be. And, you know, I'm sure if Adam Gristic, I talked to him, assistant coach, like, he's an assistant linebackers coach. He probably could end up in Cincinnati as an assistant linebackers coach, but he's sticking around. He's waiting it out. Kevin Petrie was a wide receivers coach at the Senior Bowl. Same situation. So, I don't know. It's a whole thing, and I wish we were done by now. It would be really nice to just be able to look at it and say, this is the head coach, these are the assistant coaches, who's the offensive coordinator, who's the defensive coordinator, but you can't, and the longer it goes on, the more it looks like it just can't get done.
No, the sky is falling right now for Hudats, and it's like, nobody wants to be the head coach here.
Well, here's the thing. I don't think it's fallen. You know, people are going to overreact, whatever.
Yeah.
If we get to the point where it's after the Super Bowl and then they end up hiring somebody else, it's going to look bad. It's the optics of that are going to be real ugly, because there's only one reason you would wait until after the Super Bowl, like we said, and it would be to get Kellen Moore. So if you hire someone else at that point, it would look like he said thanks but no thanks, and then that would be just the latest in a line of thanks but no thanking. And then you don't want to be that. I think coaching searches are so much about optics, and you never get both sides of the equation. Everyone wants to be the first to say, like, I'm not interested, even though the other side could have just as easily been not interested. I think that's what was happening with Mike McCarthy. You know, I don't think the Saints were really going down that path, and Mike kind of figured that out and kind of pulled himself out, but it was like he were never in to...
Right, I dumped you before you could dump me.
Yeah, and then, exactly. That's what it was. So we'll see. Either way, it's not going to end quickly. And hopefully it ends in the way that we want it to, is where I'll put it.
You know, come Monday, Super Bowl media night is going to be in full effect.
Man.
Caesar Superdome. Kellen Moore is going to get bombarded with questions.
Yeah, Kellen, I hope he has a good, sidestep answer to a lot of these questions.
Maybe he'll pull a Marshawn Lynch.
I thought Mike Kafka did it well. Mike Kafka, you know, we talked to him on Tuesday at the Senior Bowl, and I will say he was very head coach-like in that he was asked, I want to say, six direct questions about the Saints head coaching interview. He answered all of them. and I went back and I transcribed it. There is not a single, there was not an ounce of information
not
in
a nugget
any of
good
those
group,
answers.
Right.
And I'm like, that's a head coach right there. Yeah. And so we'll find out. You know, I think that's, you know, it's a, Kellen hasn't had to deal with this really yet because throughout the process, he was never the big name that people were talking about for the Saints. Everyone was kind of focused, Aaron Glenn, Joe Brady, these guys. And then Kellen kind of became the name. But like, this is, I don't think anyone's really been harassing him from the perspective of, oh, you might get this job. Now you're in New Orleans for the Super Bowl. You have to do media. There's going to be people there. There's going to be New Orleans people there. And he's going to get those questions. And it's going to be interesting to see how he answers them.
What's pretty ironic with the Philadelphia Eagles coming to the Superdome for the Super Bowl II, where are they going to be practicing, Jeff?
Saints facility.
The Saints
baby.
Facility. So maybe Kellen Moore can scope out his office over there.
Yeah, hopefully it's clean. Hopefully they, you know, they get it set up for him real nice so he gets some warm and fuzzies. If like, you know, he ends up tripping and falling down the stairs, it probably gets a bad impression. You don't want that.
Have a nice king cake in there waiting for him.
Some
kind of treats.
Get it catered. Get some canes. You
right.
know? What are they, you know, don't get him cheesesteaks. He won't like that.
No, exactly. Just a lot of gumbo, po' boys, some king cakes in there.
Yeah, I think we got it.
We're talking all kinds of stuff here on Sports Talk today. One of our Freaky Friday shows. We're going to 6 o'clock. 6:30 Pelicans pregame coverage will start on 8:70 a.m. They are hosting the defending champion Boston Celtics this evening. That is a 7 o'clock tip-off. We're kind of in wait-and-see mode to see what happens with the Birds tonight, too, because once again, Zion Williamson has popped up on the injury report. He is questionable tonight with a non-COVID illness. So luckily, he doesn't have COVID again this time around, but he did pop up being sick again. I don't know what to make of this. The day, just yesterday, he was talking about how he's ready to play in back-to-back games.
Is it a rule
games.
That you have to say non-COVID illness?
I think it is not, but just blows my mind. We're still talking this.
Why are they still doing that?
Yeah.
Anyway.
I'm just reading the injury report,
Jeff. It's not your, how dare you?
We're taking a break here on Sports Talk. You can sound off with me and Jeff, 504-260-1870. Taking a break. Be right back with more Sports Talk after this. Welcome back to our fun Friday show of Sports Talk. The last day of the year. Well, the last day of the month, I should say, not last day of the year. This month feels like a year, though. Let's be honest with everything that's been going on.
Yeah, it's the best day of the year. Man, January 31st, the month of January has felt like a year. I'll give you that.
Right. Between, you know, the way it started, and then we had a snowstorm.
We had
and
a big snowstorm.
Everywhere around, though, too, there's been crazy news going on
from
wildfires
to ask Mike
crashes
Kafka.
In air.
I wanted to ask Mike Kafka if he felt like it was a bad omen that his interview with the Saints got delayed by, like, a once-in-a-century snowstorm, but I never got to it. He was busy. But, yeah.
Couldn't
have felt good.
What's that?
Couldn't have felt good. Like, oh, I got an interview. Oh, wait, no.
Oh, I gotta wait.
Mother Nature has told me this is a bad idea.
Yeah. There are signs from above.
Yeah.
I want to get out. We mentioned the Pelicans game. It's 7 o'clock tonight, 8:70 a.m. tip-off against the Boston Celtics. Statement from the Pelicans fans for all Pelicans media, for all you fans out there, as they prepare for tonight's game against the Celtics, they want to remind fans, plan ahead, allow extra time when heading to the Smoothie King Center. Due to all the Super Bowl activities in the city, the traffic and parking is a little more challenging than usual. With a large crowd expected with the defending champs in town, they highly recommend arriving early to ensure you have plenty of time to get your seat, enjoy the game, appreciate the understanding, and look forward to seeing you all at the game. You know,
large crowd, huh?
We'll see what the turnout is. I'm
rooting for it.
I'm worried there'll be more green in the stands than
Yeah,
Pelicans.
If there's a large crowd, it's going to be because they're Celtics fans. No, I mean, last time they played the Celtics, they played them well. So
definitely.
We'll see if that goes again. And I think that's all you can ask for at this time of year and when you have this season going on. It's like, let's play competitive basketball games. Get
that's
people in the building something to get excited about.
When we talked to Jake Madison last night, obviously the Pels had a tough loss on, what's today? Friday. So Wednesday night. They lost heartbreaker, but it was an entertaining game against the Mavericks. And he was kind of like, well, that's, you know, Jake Madison mentioned, that's kind of like you want at this point to at least have an entertaining game, but you still lose to help the tank out.
Well, that's like the Washington game for the Saints. It was like, okay, they lost, but you had an entertaining second half and you didn't hurt your draft pick. Like, best of both worlds, right? Now, you know, the Pelicans, we'll see. We'll see how this all goes. I will say the traffic today coming in was not that bad. I feel like we're a couple days away from it getting crazy.
It'll start Monday because with media night happening.
Like, I was worried. I gave myself an extra, like, 20 minutes coming downtown today, and I was like, oh, this is downright pleasant.
The quiet and before the storm,
you know,
right?
It's because I got so used to the traffic based on construction for so long that most of the construction's done. I'm like, oh, okay, we can actually drive on the streets. But no, it's next week, if you don't have to drive around, like, take the streetcar. You know, like, take some public transportation. I don't know. Save the environment.
Yeah, just because between road closures and things going on with the Super Bowl, it's going to be a challenge to get around in the city for sure. So be patient, folks. I know that's difficult. I end up, my day's miserable when I start driving here just because of the idiots all on Interstate 10.
Yeah, no, I was talking, a lot of people at the Senior Bowl were like, you see this hotel room I got? It costs like $2,000. They're like, oh, okay, good luck.
Whoa.
Yeah, right. No, hotel prices are nuts. I think Times-Picayune reported there was a Motel 6 room going for like $625 a night. And I was like, oh, okay, Motel 6, huh? All right.
I guess, yeah, anywhere you could stay. I wonder the rates, not just in the city, but probably out in Metairie and all the locations.
Anything
too,
in driving distance, like reasonable driving
exactly.
distance.
Exactly, yeah. I'm going to hit our Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line. You can sound off 504-260-1870. See, Pelicans fan from North Carolina hanging on line one. Want to talk about the trade line and more. What you got for us today, Pelicans fan?
What's up, man?
Hey, how's it going?
Doing all right.
Hey, so with the deadline coming up, I was just thinking, you know, a lot of talk about Brandon Ingram being traded, possibly Zion Williamson, and then about the rumors about Brandon Ingram being connected to the Hawks. You see a deal with, like, Brandon Ingram and maybe some smaller contracts for, like, I don't know, Capella and bringing back Larry Nance. I'm not sure if we're trying to maybe need to do a couple of deals to get under the apron, but what do you guys think?
Thanks for the call, Pels fan.
Yeah, I think Bobby Marks was on a couple weeks ago, and he was like, the Pelicans are going to make a move.
Right.
Because they're going to get under that luxury tax apron, because a team in the Pelican situation is not paying the tax, as they're going to pay as little as possible. So you're going to have a move. I just think it's going to be tough to get any representative value for Brandon Ingram based on the fact that he hasn't played.
Right.
Like, why would a team trade for him and expect him to be the all-star Brandon Ingram that we're used to? So I don't know. I think at best you're talking about, hey, we can bring in some expiring contracts. We can get some cap relief. We can do whatever. Maybe a draft pick. If you can get a first round pick, even a late first round pick. I mean, I think that's a win. But I don't know. It's hard to look at Brandon Ingram and the situation in his contract and say, like, he's going to fetch anything notable.
I thought it was hilarious today to see whoever had the report of the Pelicans were interested in trading for Jimmy Butler, and that made no sense to me whatsoever. But I will say that I could see the Pels being involved maybe in a three-team deal with Butler and him going somewhere else, but there's no way Jimmy Butler's coming here. Maybe Brandon Ingram could be part of some kind of three-team deal in that kind of a way to, you know, like Pels fan mentioned, to get under the apron, because they do have to make some kind of deal. I don't think Zion's someone that's going to be heading somewhere. We kind of talked about this a little bit yesterday, Jeff, the fact that I wonder if a team comes calling looking for maybe a guy like CJ McCollum. If they're serious about making a title run, maybe McCollum's interested in playing for a team that, you know, doing a little ring chasing, and he's got a big contract and could be some relief for the Pelicans there.
Yeah, I think this is a season where if you're making trades, it's for cap relief,
right?
More so than anything else. You're gonna get to the offseason, you're gonna figure it out. You're gonna build this thing around Trey Murphy and, you know, maybe some Eve Misi and Zion. Like, you're not trading Zion. Like, you are too far down that the sunken cost fallacy is not a fallacy in this case. Like, you're not giving up on that sunken cost. Like, you have sunken so much into Zion Williamson, you're not bailing on it. But it's just. I don't know. I think every year we get to the deadline and everyone has these fantasies of like, oh, we can get this guy and this guy and this guy. And then in reality, it's like, like, we're better off just cleaning up the cap as much as possible, so next year we can make another run at this thing and hopefully not get this crazy, crazy run of bad health. But I don't know. Like, Zion is frustrating, but I don't know. It's just...
It's hard to give up on the talent when you've seen it. You see what he's capable of doing on the court. It's just the fact that you know, he's not, he's hardly available. And if he's questionable again tonight because of an illness, we kind of joked back and forth with this a couple weeks ago. How many home games has this guy played?
I think five total. But no, it's, I think to a certain extent, they need to take the kid gloves off and start treating him like an NBA player. Right? I just don't think that that's, I don't think that works. I don't think protecting someone from basketball is a workable strategy in the National Basketball Association.
Charlie held up to five, so you were correct, sir. Yeah. Five home games
I mean,
this year.
I just think you have to, like, you know, there's that whole, like, oh, Nolan Ryan used to throw 180 pitches a game, and he never got hurt, and you know, part of it's like, yeah, okay, you build up that callus over time of you got to actually do difficult things to get used to doing difficult things, and I just think they've tried so hard, they work so hard, and they try to be so scientific with making sure Zion is available that they are actually
hurting that.
Yeah, I think they're making it less likely that he actually can play through anything because they never have him play through anything. I mean, he wants to play in back-to-backs, or at least that's what he says.
Right.
So I don't know.
Like, says he works for the Pels and he's just doing what they tell him to do.
Like, and here's the thing, like, if you're like, it's a medical staff. They know what's best. Do they? Do they? Because I have not seen a run of two franchises that has been this injury plagued ever. So I think we can ditch this idea that everything they're doing is definitely the best case scenario and we shouldn't dig into it at all, because if that was the case, I don't think this would happen every year. So I don't know. Like, let's let the guy be a basketball player and we'll figure it out as we go. How about that?
I would love it. Like you kind of, we talked a little bit too off the air. You understand the minutes restriction as he's coming back from this hamstring issue. But
if you're going to be on a minutes restriction, you can play him back to back.
Right. Exactly. Like, it's really head scratching. I don't understand the logic.
I don't know.
Well,
just,
now he's sick again, though, too. So we'll see what happens there.
I just think you have a responsibility to your fans to give them something worth watching. And if you have a guy that is healthy enough to play, and you're not playing him, then you are doing a disservice to your fans.
But you see a guy like DeJounte Murray, he's almost on the injury report, I feel like, every single game, but he's still playing through it, right?
Zion never does that. You never see Zion like, oh, he's on the injury. Like, I'd be stunned if he plays tonight. He's not even hurt.
Because he's on there as questionable, that means he's out.
Got like a cold or something. I don't know. I don't know what he's dealing with. But
non-COVID illness.
But it's like, this is what, 5 years, 6 years of this now? Like, five? I don't know. I've lost count because he's only played in like one season's worth of games. That's not true. He played in a lot of games last year. But
just right at the end, unfortunately, that's when he got the injury, when it looks like, you know, we were all, you know, on a roll going into the postseason, and then whap, you got hit with that, another injury.
Yeah, the worst time to injury, man. And I feel bad because it's like, you know, I think he has done as good of a job of making sure he's in shape, has the body that he needs to have this year than any other year. Like, when he missed that time earlier this season, I was like, man, I am worried about what he's going to come back looking like. He came back in great shape. He came back looking as fit as he's ever looked.
Well, then the problem was you were getting reports of him missing practice, being late for the plane.
Well, yeah, you gotta show up on time for the plane. Maybe he just has taken so few road trips this year. He didn't know when the plane took off. I don't know. But it's just frustrating because, like, every year I wanna get excited for the Pelicans. And every year there's always something that falls off. So
we have a rising star, at least, in Eve Missy.
I mean, I was, you know, people got mad when they made that pick. I was actually excited for that pick because I was like, this guy has got Clint Capella written all over him. And that's what he looks like right now. He looks like a young, you know, pogo stick that is only going to get better. So, you know, one of the things they have been missing over the last few years, and I say missing, you know, kind of play on words there, but is that kind of rim-running athletic center. And they have that now, right? And when you have guys miss this much time, you have to have these young players get out there and play. I think Brandon Boston's a solid player. I think they've identified some role players, and they'll get better, but it's not going to help them this year. So
we're taking a break here on Sports Talk. You can sound off 254-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line. Getting closer to the Super Bowl. One more game left in the NFL season. Chiefs taking on the Eagles. We'll have all that coverage for you of Super Bowl week here on WWL, from our morning show to Sports Talk. We're going to be on Radio Row, every single one of us, counting down to the big game in the Caesars Superdome. Getting ready for all the action. Taking a break, though, first. AM. We'll be right back with more Sports Talk after this on WWL. Welcome back into Sports Talk. We're going to get right into that Oakwin Heart Jewelers talk and text line. Jimmy and Gretna on the line. How you been, Jimmy? You going to the game tonight?
Hey, man. Hey, look, first off, since y'all are talking about all the Super Bowl traffic, man, maybe I got a shed in the back in my house in Gretna. Maybe I could rent it out, an Airbnb, the shed out for some of these fans coming into town next week.
Good money in that.
What do you think? Get a couple hundred bucks a night for this shed, or what do you think?
At least. About
50? I'm going to give you a one-star review.
Okay, buddy. Listen, all jokes aside, traffic's going to be, I think with the Celtics coming to town tonight, albeit we're not sure if Zion's going to play, it doesn't sound like he's going to play. And, it's still going to be, it seems like the Celtics always bring a big crowd down here. So, I wanted to say something about the Saints deal. We're at the back end of this. We're like the last kid getting picked on the playground here for the game. And it's kind of embarrassing. I know Kubiak's left, right? So the whole premise of, but that doesn't mean, let's run it back with Rizzi for 1 year and do a total rebuild. And cut or trade Carr, the whole scenario people play out with this like, okay, we're in cap hell. Let's just go let Rizzi, let's not throw a real candidate per se.
Right,
into
I hear
the
what
fire.
You're saying.
Yeah, and let's get out of cap hell. Let's get rid of Carr's albatross-like contract and, just continue to rebuild, get out of cap hell and all that stuff. Let's play it, run it back with Rizzi. Is that still a possibility if the Kellen Moore deal falls apart? I'm fine with Kellen Moore at this point, obviously, but with us waiting, so we got to wait till after the Super Bowl. What's your take on that?
Yeah, I think with, we've heard Darren Rizzi's name being mentioned for a few special teams coordinator positions around the NFL, but if the Saints came up to him and said, you know what, after considerations, we want you to be, remain the head coach of the New Orleans Saints, he's going to jump at that opportunity.
I think he probably would. And I would guess that's probably a 1A one. Like, that would be the fallback.
And we know Alvin Kamara and Cam Jordan are supporting it.
Yeah, and that's a big reason why it would be the fallback.
Yeah.
Because, that you could sell it in the locker room. And at the end of the day, selling it in the locker room, it'll be tough to sell to the fans as this is what we wanted. But if you can sell it in the locker room, then you can, and you go win games, the fans will get on board. So that's the most important thing is, and people are going to get caught up in that. We haven't got a text saying, hey, do you like Kellen Moore as a head coach candidate? I kind of do. He wouldn't have been my first choice. I have some questions. I think there's a little recency bias going on right now because, he's not bringing Saquon Barkley with him. He's not bringing
the
O-line with him. He's going to have to figure all that stuff out here. And I see people saying, they should draft Ginty. And like, no, they shouldn't draft Ginty.
No, right.
Just because they're going to hire an offensive wizard head coach. He's got to figure that out. Either way, I like Kellen. I like the idea of Kellen. I don't know. We had Babe...
Loffenberg
on, and he talked about, he feels like he can lead a room. He's led the offense on three different teams. That's half the roster already. But we said the same things about DA.
Right.
And it's like, now he's just got to do the other half, and he didn't do the other half all that well. So, I'm hopeful. I kind of feel like...
I've watched a few of Kellen Moore press conferences, and I still don't feel like I know the man enough to have really any kind of solid take on him as a leader of a team right now.
He's a football brain. And
for sure, right.
At a certain point, that's all you need. But, you got to be able to do the rest of it too. And I think for Kellen, the important thing if you do hire him is he's got to find the right offensive coordinator to help him in that way. He's got to find a rock star defensive coordinator to figure this thing out. And because here's the thing, like you can have a great offense if the defense is falling off a cliff like it was during a lot of Drew Brees' tenure. You're not winning that way either. So that's going to be an equally important part of this process because you got to figure out what your defense is. I don't know what it's going to be. I don't think you're going to bring back a lot of, I don't think you bring back Joe Woods. He's not going to be a defensive coordinator.
Right.
Right? And he was kind of barely the defensive coordinator under Dennis Allen. It was basically a defensive backs coach. And then all of a sudden he had to run the entire defense, and I don't think it went well. You're going to have to kind of reset the deck there. And, it's a lot of veteran players who will help. But what if you bring in a guy? What if you want to change schemes? What if you want to, get younger and more athletic on the edges? What are you doing there? You know, what if you want to, you know, your linebacker room? I think you have a lot of intriguing linebackers in there, but what if you want to change the system? I don't know. So we'll find out.
Yeah, but there's a lot of what ifs in, you know, right now because
you just don't know. No, you don't know.
Right, exactly.
You can't even ask Kellen because he won't answer the questions.
And he can.
Because he can't. Well, I mean, he could theoretically, but he won't. So, like, he can answer those questions more than the Saints can answer those questions.
Sure, yeah.
But I don't know. But I do take issue with the analogy of, like, being the last pick of the playground.
But you're
already... That's only if, like, the playground consisted of 32 elite baseball players and you were the 32nd elite baseball player that ended up on the team, right? Like,
I'm just thinking with Kellen Moore, what can he really say? I can already hear Monday night at media night him being asked about the Saints job, and he's like, of course, you know, I appreciate the interest in talking to the Saints, a great organization, really got to know them well, but right now my focus is on, you know, getting the Lombardi Trophy for Philadelphia.
I would suggest that he goes and gets the transcripts from Mike Kafka on Tuesday and just repeats exactly what he said. But, you know, he'll say, hey, I'm here, we're about the Eagles right now. We're talking about the
exactly. Eagles. I'll think about those things after the game.
What he should do, right? And I think there were some serious questions about Jonathan Gannon after that Super Bowl. Now, the offense was fine in the Super Bowl. He wasn't the issue. But anytime you lose, there's going to be questions of, was he fully invested?
Sure.
And that's always kind of this awkward thing. It was, you know...
Yeah, the players aren't trying anymore because the coach is leaving.
No, I mean, Ben Johnson, Aaron Glenn, you know, when you go and you lay an egg in that situation and suddenly it's like, wow, he's already been talking to Dennis Allen as his defense coordinator.
Yeah.
Like, didn't you have a Super Bowl to win here first? You know, I can understand why fans might be a little peeved about that, but I don't think Kellen's going to fall into that trap.
Shuffling on off to break, Cannon on Sports Talk. We'll be right back with more. Stay tuned right after this on WWL. Closing out the first hour of Sports Talk here. Next up, we'll be talking with Pelicans basketball preview with Ali Cosell, who'll be in the Smoothie King Center, gave the latest on the Birds, and be talking more about Saints and the Senior Bowl right after this, after the news on WWL. Ah, happy Friday, everybody. It is the last day of the month as we get ready for Pelicans basketball this evening, hosting the defending champion Boston Celtics. That's a 7 o'clock tip-off on 870 AM, 6:30 pregame coverage. We'll be cranking up. Also, getting ready for the big game. Super Bowl Sunday is next week. Anxious to get onto Radio Row for all the action there. And Monday night will be the big spectacle of media night in the Caesars Superdome.
Yes.
When you have, you know... reporters and, you know, I don't know if you would call podcasters, journalists, just crazy questions, though, end up getting asked that night, too.
WWE super fans, stuff like that.
Yeah, kids are in there.
Yeah.
But I know one of the main attention on the stage in the Caesars Superdome on Monday night is going to be a pretty decent crowd around Eagles offensive coordinator Kellen Moore. There's been a big buzz around him being the favorite to land the Saints head coaching job. Nothing can become official until after February 9th, the Super Bowl is played. We mentioned, we saw what happened a couple years ago to the Arizona Cardinals when they did a little tampering. OC Jonathan Gannon for the Philadelphia Eagles, DC, sorry. And they ended up, like you mentioned, not losing draft picks, but having to do a swap on picks.
Yeah, and you know, if you're saying there's going to be a big crowd around Kellen Moore, I'll tell you someone who's not going to be crowded around Kellen Moore, that's 607, I don't want to say his full number, but, you know, he says, if they hire Kellen Moore, I'll become a Falcons fan. That hurts just to think it.
What is this blasphemy?
Why?
Yeah, exactly.
My question is, why? Why? And you know, you don't have to tell me, like, he's your favorite candidate or whatever. Why would you be so upset that you would stop watching your team because of a head coaching hire? And not only a head coaching hire, like a genuine, like, okay, this is a pretty solid get if you got Kellen Moore. Like,
literally a young... It's offensive mind.
Yeah, like, I mean, and we're talking, you know, if somebody said you want someone that's older than a player, and, you know, he is 36 years old. I will give you that. That is pretty young. It's, you know, it's just like Derek Carr is almost 36. Like, Cam Jordan is almost 36. I'm aging them. Cam Jordan's 34.
Yeah.
Derek Carr's 33. Demario Davis is going to be 36. So you're right in that range. But, you know, you have to look beyond the age and say, okay, what has he done as a coach? It's not like you're hiring someone fresh out of college.
Look at the resume, right.
You're talking about a guy who's been an offensive coordinator in the NFL for 6 years on three different teams. That's not nothing.
Yeah, he did go from player to quarterbacks coach and then an offensive coordinator.
Right. He started a ton of games in college, won a ton of games in college, went and played in the NFL for 6 years, and now he's been a coach for, I don't know, I lost track of the years, but he's been an offensive coordinator. He was in Dallas for 4 years, obviously went to the Chargers for a year, been in Philadelphia for a year. I mean, what is the resume you're looking for? Is it just like if he was 6 years older, you'd feel like, oh, the wisdom, he has it now. Like, no, if he's ready to be a head coach, he's ready to be a head coach. Something Babe Laufenberg mentioned yesterday, too, it's like he grew up, his dad was a high school coach. Like,
right.
He grew up. With this, like, this is his whole thing.
I love
his
whole
identity.
The story too about when Boise State came to recruit him, he pulled out a notebook then of plays he had designed already too.
Yeah, I recommend. So there's a John Gruden quarterback school. Remember the quarterback school?
Yeah.
It's like a 20-minute video of like John Gruden and Kellen Moore.
Oh, I haven't seen that. I'm definitely gonna check it out.
Well, I mean, he's been around forever, and there's so much content of him. But he had
the
shaggy haircut, and you know, just the everyone's talking about. Oh, Boise State, they should be in a BCS game, and you know, he's the reason. He's the reason that we had to start talking about the small schools.
Yeah.
He beat Derek Carr in college.
I was going to say, yeah, he was a senior and Derek was a sophomore.
Oh, someone says, that says he can't keep a job. Get out of here. He's literally in the Super Bowl as the offense. He went to the Eagles because they fired Brandon Staley last year.
And he was on that crew.
And he was on that staff. So he went and coached the Eagles and went to the Super Bowl. Mike McCarthy, they don't say fired, but, you know, when you don't win the way that you're supposed to win, the first step is always fire the offensive coordinator. It's not the answer. Like, you look at what happened in Carolina. Did they fire Matt Rhule right away? No, they were like, Joe Brady, he's the problem, and they fired him. Well, where's Joe Brady? He's with the Bills. He's succeeding. Anyway, so I just think you need to look beyond, oh, he's 36 years old, and tell me, like, why is the 6 years that would make you feel a little better different if he just started coaching 6 years later?
I do love the Oakland Heart Jewelers talking text line, because you do get the dichotomy of both sides of things. Right before that text you just read from 2575, hey guys, big Fred from the West Bank. With all the talk about an unknown Phillies OC, wasn't there an unknown about Sean Payton when he was hired? And weren't we in the same shape with the roster then?
Yeah, I think Sean Payton was, 41, something in that range. He wasn't
as
much,
young, right?
He was not... as young as Kellen Moore, but also not much older. He was an offensive coordinator for the Broncos, but he was only an offensive coordinator. I'm sorry, I said the Broncos. For the Giants, he was only an offensive coordinator for 3 seasons, went to Dallas. He was the assistant head coach and quarterbacks coach for a few years, and then ended up with the Saints. The funny thing is, on Sean Payton's career list, it says he coached the Saints from 2006 to 2011 and then from 2013 to 2021.
What happened in that year?
I think he coached a high school team in Texas. Like, it's just funny because they actually is listed as if he left and coached a high school team and then came back, which is what he did, but he was never not the Saints head. Anyway, it is kind of a weird thing. Liberty Christian is listed as their offensive coordinator.
Nice.
And then obviously he's with the Broncos now. So, no, I mean, like, there's a lot of similarities. There's a lot of corollaries between Sean Payton and Kellen Moore. I hesitate to say, like, well, that's a good thing because you're just trying to catch lightning in a bottle again. But, hey, maybe it'll work.
Here on Sports Talk, want to hear from you. Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line. It's 504-260-1870. We're going to send things off to break and be back with more as we get ready for Pelicans basketball coming up on 870 AM, 630 pregame coverage, 7 o'clock tip-off against the Boston Celtics. Be back with more Sports Talk, though, right after this on WWL. Welcome back into here to Sports Talk, getting ready for Pelicans basketball, 7 o'clock tip-off on 870 AM, and we knew it, Jeff. Questionable Zion with an illness, and it is now confirmed he is out for tonight's game. Another game matchup in the Smoothie King Center that the home crowd does not get to see their superstar.
It's so crazy. I can't believe that happened. It's so unusual.
Yeah,
that he's not playing.
It's really disappointing considering he just spoke yesterday and we kind of heard him really being vehement about, I can play back-to-backs.
It's not a great look when you're hemming and hawing about, I want to play, and then the next day it's like,
I'm sick.
I can't play.
I don't know if the team's playing games, you know, trying to, with the tank.
No, you don't need to sit Zion to lose to the Celtics.
That's what I'm saying. It's like, it doesn't make sense. You want to throw the home fans a bone and put your star out there.
I mean, I believe that he's sick. I do believe that he's sick. I don't know. Like, if he was sick, this happened today.
Meanwhile, DeJounte Murray with an elbow and whatever else he's dealing with, I'm sure is fine to go.
I don't know. It is what it is.
It's maddening.
It's frustrating, but hey, we've been here.
Head bang against the wall kind of stuff.
Yeah, I don't know. I do not know. I do want to, so we did get a, we got a text asking about Rizzi and where Rizzi is with the situation and why Rizzi hasn't taken a job. I think special teams coordinators are oftentimes going to be the last job you fill when you're talking about teams hiring coordinators. I don't think, you know, no offense to the special teams coordinators of the world. It's not, oh my gosh, they hired that guy? What a great hire. You don't even know the guy's name half the time, right? So,
With Rizzi now, people do because he was the innovator behind the new kickoff rule.
Yeah, I think Rizzi is actually one of the more well-known special teams coordinators, especially now that he's been a head coach or interim head coach, right? And he is getting interviewed. He got interviewed by the Jets.
Right.
So people do talk about
you
him.
You did too, though.
That is true. That is true. I think they interviewed Jim Nagy for their general manager position. Like, they cast a wide net. And then that's not to say, congrats to Jim Nagy for interviewing for that job. But it seemed like they interviewed a lot of people for a lot of different things. Yeah. So anyway, Rizzi, I think it's more just like, if he feels like he still has a chance at that Saints head coaching job, I don't think he's going to cut himself out of that equation prematurely.
Agreed. Right.
Right. And to this point, it doesn't sound like there's a done deal anywhere. So we'll see how that goes. If he takes a special teams coordinator opening job somewhere else.
Right? Yeah.
I think that is pretty telling about where things probably stand and kind of the messaging that's going on around it. But I think there will be significant interest in Darren Rizzi. I would expect him to be a special teams coordinator in the NFL next year. If it's not on the Saints, it'll be somewhere else.
Yeah, I wonder if he does not get the head coaching gig here. If he's like, well, you know, I've kind of had my time. It's, you know, time to move on to somewhere else, being a little bit bitter about not getting the job.
Yeah. I mean, how many times are you going to get passed over? You know, I wouldn't be surprised if they tried to retain him, but it probably will be tough to sell that to a guy that wants to be a head coach.
Was it you that posted on social media, what if, you know, the grand what if the Saints had just paid a little more to Dennis Allen to be the defensive coordinator and moved Darren Rizzi into the head coaching spot when that initially had gone through?
That is one of my bigger what ifs, because I think that the entire situation would have probably worked better if Rizzi had been the head coach. It would have never happened. You were never going to do it.
Right.
Like, you were coming off a season. You know, one of the things that happened in that last season under Sean Payton was Sean Payton missed the game due to COVID, and you went to Tampa Bay, and you won with Dennis Allen as your interim. Right? It's not really even an interim.
They shut him out.
Yeah, they shut him out in that game, right? And so, you know, you were never going to end up with Rizzi as your head coach. But I do think, based on what we saw last year and what we know about Dennis Allen as a defensive coordinator, it would have been a much better scenario, and I think you would have had a much better chance for success. I also don't think you would have probably ended up with Derek Carr as your quarterback, because one of the reasons you ended up with Derek Carr is because that was TA's guy.
We'll get an update more on the Pels and who's playing, who's not, right after the break. Checking in the Smoothie King Center with credentialed NBA writer Ali Cosell, one of our favorites, joining us right after the break here on WWL. Welcome back into Sports Talk. Remind everybody, we are going to be live from Radio Row in the heart of New Orleans. It's WWL bringing you exclusive access to the biggest sports event of the year. Join Tommy, Newell, Dave, Scoot, and Sports Talk with Bobby Hebert, Mike D, and me, broadcasting live at the Morial Convention Center from 6 a.m. to 8 p.m. every day next week. Hear the biggest names in sports, entertainment, and music, plus insiders' insights on unforgettable moments. We're your front row seat to the thrills and excitement of the big game. Keep it locked on your home for the NFL and the spirit of New Orleans, powered by Lambert, Zaney, Smith, and Soso. WWL and the free Odyssey app. Now checking in with Ali Cosell in the belly of the Smoothie King Center. Ali, how you doing tonight, man?
Doing great. Looking forward to this matchup, though. We just got news that, unfortunately, Zion Williamson's not going to play, stomach virus. That's kind of disappointing.
Yeah, especially we were talking about this. We saw it on social media with all the clamoring he was doing yesterday about being able to play back-to-backs. And, you know, it's just the team basically holding him back. We're kind of at a loss for words here, just the fact that the home fans have seemed to miss out so many of the games that he has been playing this year. Just five games total in the Smoothie King Center. Really disappointing he's not available for this matchup tonight.
Yeah, look, I mean, they're about to go on a road trip, right? Going to be gone for, what, is it about 8 days or so?
Yeah.
And the fact that it's now his third illness-related type of absence on the season, yeah, it's not a good look, right, for a player that claims that he's in the greatest shape. And you mentioned coming off less than 24 hours ago. Listen, and then look, we can see it, right? His conditioning looks probably better, as good as it's ever been.
Agreed.
Right, since entering the NBA and all this. And yet he still has a propensity for missing games. So you're right. It's just a bad look.
I did see him the other night at the Circle K grabbing some sushi. So maybe that's what that's a joke.
Dun, dun, dun.
That's a joke. All right, that gas station sushi keeps getting it. No. You know, Ollie, so, you know, this is the time of the year where it's all about, hey, can you give me something entertaining to watch? And then if you lose, whatever, it's okay. But you know, what are the – give me some positivity. We just talked about Zion being sick. He's not going to play. What would you look at if I asked you, okay, what are the top two or three positive things that the Pelicans can do the rest of the way? Why should I, as a fan, be excited about things that are happening?
Yeah, so number one kind of is, honestly, unfortunately, I mean, however way you want to look at it, but Zion Williamson, right, best shape of his career. We're seeing him do things on the court that we haven't seen before, and that's basically give you effort on both ends of the court defensively. And the thing that's really emerged now recently is the starting lineup, right, when Z's out there with DeJounte, CJ, Trey, and Eve, they're actually gangbusters. Offensively, offensive rating of close to 130, so that's 130 points per 100 possessions, which is outstanding. They're playing less. Amazing pace at a 106 pace. Again, 106 possessions per game. That's something you rarely see, right? So you love where potentially this team could be if they can all stay on the court together. So there's still, 34 games, I believe. So hopefully more games than not, you'll get to see this fivesome out there, right, doing their thing and hopefully trying to improve defensively. Because that's where the drawbacks are right now. But for the rest of the year, I mean, you want to see Trey Murphy continue to build on an all-star campaign. You want to see if Eve Missy can overcome the rookie wall, right, which looks like it's affecting him, and see if he can finish the year strongly. Can DeJounte Murray, right, continue shooting the ball as well he has been like last few weeks, low turnovers? Can he be the guy, that point guard, that I think we all think he can be for this team, that supposedly he's also made that switch with Zion Williamson in his brain to where he's made him care about both sides of the court? Right, so I think that relationship is panning out. But again, it all comes down to if these guys can just be on the court together, right? That's going to be the biggest marker. But if they can, yeah, there's plenty to look for.
Looking at this matchup tonight against the Boston Celtics, last go around, Pelly's played them tight. It was a good matchup. What can we hope to see from this team going into this matchup against the Celts this time around?
Yeah, it's crazy. There's been two recent one-point losses, right? Last game against the Mavericks, yep. And then that one up in Boston. And the biggest Achilles heel was defensive rebounding. In both of those games, the Pelicans grabbed less than two-thirds of the available defensive rebounds. And even with the starting lineup, right, that I just rattled off a few minutes ago, their biggest weakness is rebounding the ball. So you want to see these guys. I don't know whether it'll take DeJounte Murray getting you 8-9 rebounds, Trey Murphy maybe getting you double digits, but somebody's got to just flat out go out there and do it. Because that cost them, right, those two games wins. Because they've given that many more possessions, more chances for the other team to shoot the ball. And the Mavericks got 32, right? Second chance points. You can't allow that. So that's what I'm going to be watching for the rest of the year. Can these guys kind of develop somebody, a Josh Hart mentality? Because that's what's going to take. If this is the core going forward, somebody is going to have to emerge as a rebounder. At least a couple of guys, right? Uptick in their production on that end.
You know, Ollie, one of the things that kind of came out today that kind of struck me as odd, and I still don't think makes a ton of sense, is that the Pelicans are being named in the Jimmy Butler saga as a potential trade partner. And, you know, if he doesn't want to play in Miami, I can't imagine he wants to play in New Orleans, a team that isn't really going anywhere this year. I do wonder if it is a lot more to do with a three-team option or maybe kick it. But what is your reaction to all of that?
Yeah, I love your instincts. And I did some checking in when I saw that news earlier today. And from what I understand, the Pelicans do not have interest in Jimmy Butler to bring him here.
Right.
So it's not just we have to worry about Jimmy Butler. It's the fact that they don't want to say whether it's moving off of Brandon Ingram right. or whoever. But you're right that they would be interested and have been with any team where they could facilitate, right, help a trade happen and use some of their salary that they want to get off of, like Brandon Ingram, right, since the summer. That, they, of course, there's always been interest in, but no. Jimmy Butler, New Orleans, no. I'll put that rumor to bed. I'm not believing it because I haven't heard that from my sources.
One of the rumors out there, too, saw that the Milwaukee Bucks was interested in a guy like Jose Alvarado. I was just wondering what you thought about that. Is that legit or kind of just, you know, maybe agent speak or whatever you got going on there? It doesn't make sense to me, at least for this team, to move on from a guy like Alvarado.
No, that's real. But here's the thing. There's a lot of teams out there that have wish lists, right?
Yeah.
And, of course, Jose's enviable for several reasons. One, he's impactful. Two, you look at the team that's wanting him, right? They need that defensive help. They need just players, the Bucks do. And then third, he's on a great contract. And the Bucks, they're already paying a heck of a lot of money. I believe they're either first or second apron team, right? So they're above the luxury tax even. So having a player that can help you on the court at low cost, you want those players. So I would bet, you know, pretty much every cent I've got in the bank account that the Pelicans aren't going to trade Jose Alvarado away, especially for future assets, right? What good will second draft or second round draft picks do for an organization when Jose Alvarado's here under great contract? City loves him, team loves him, right? He's one of these core locker room guys. It wouldn't make any sense. So I'm not buying that they would explore a deal like that at all. That's just a Bucks wish list.
Yeah, and I mean, just in general on the roster, obviously Brandon Ingram is the name. You're going to hear about Brandon Ingram getting floated around. Do you expect the Pelicans to be active beyond Brandon Ingram, or do you think they're kind of in a position where, yeah, this season went off the rails, but, you know, we feel like this core group is one that we want to bring back intact and not rebuild through the draft necessarily?
Yeah, one thing I can guarantee, they will make some kind of trade before next Thursday's trade deadline.
Right.
They simply have to get under the luxury tax. They've never paid it before. They're certainly not going to start doing it now in such a down season, right? And here's the thing. If they were to, say, stay over the luxury tax, they would also lose out on $18 million. It seems like that's the approximation of what every team that's under luxury tax is going to get paid for all the teams that are over it, right? So that's too much money for a team like that's losing. So, of course, the hope is B.I. is going to get traded, but if they can't find a taker, I mean, maybe there's some chance that C.J. McCollum gets moved, but I wouldn't bet on that either. If anything, I would think it'd be somebody else on the roster, somebody that's making a lot less money. So I'm looking at maybe even a Jordan Hawkins, right? Team's got Brandon Boston, who they want to give a standard contract to eventually, Antonio Reeves. So is Jordan Hawkins just kind of repetitive for the roster? Or maybe some minimum guy. I've heard Javonte Green, he's got a lot of interest across the league, actually. So I could see him potentially moving on, too. But they're going to make some kind of deal, guys. I just don't know what it is.
Ollie, when you look at the team, you know, the Pels going into this matchup, too, what are you expecting to see just overall from the fans, like, showing up? I know, one, the team is having a difficult go getting in the win column. And then right now with all the Super Bowl stuff going on, it's just a real hassle to even get to the arena.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, it's been a hassle for us media, right? You have to come extra early because there's extra more walking, right, involved where we're now parking like half a mile away or sometimes even more. So I'll tell you one thing. The basketball's been fun, right? I mean, once we got past that point where, what was it, they lost, I believe, 20 of 21. Right. There was a lot of, like, G-League types out there. I think the basketball's been entertaining. And you can see the future, right? Most of the guys outside of B.I. and Herb have been here playing games, and that's what you get excited about, right? You can see this offense can run with anybody. You can see the improvements they're trying to make with shooting more threes, running faster, right? All these things. So it's an exciting style of basketball, I think, with a bunch of young guys that are going to be here in New Orleans for a bit. And remember, it's not that they're perennial losers. Last year, this group won 49 wins. So I think they're going to get right back to it next season, provided, of course, they get the help. So the core, it's still exciting, right? So that's, I think, worth seeing.
Yeah, so, I mean, you think this, you know, this season, do you feel like it could be kind of a launching point for, like, the Grizzlies last year, I think would be a good example.
Yeah.
Like, they lost Ja, they lost all these players, and they lost a lot of games. But you felt like, okay, there's quality here. You feel like that's the Pelicans can be that team next year. Maybe not as significant of a turnaround, but something in that range.
Yeah, there's no doubt, because like I said, what's given me hope is these early markers, like how well the starting lineup is playing, at least especially offensively. When you start seeing this team is now shooting more threes, they're actually taking, you know, the adherence of what the coaching staff's trying to tell them to do, and they're actually putting it to action. So you're seeing all these things starting to come together. Like I said, DeJounte Murray, who was in that funk, right, when he first came back, but now he's been playing much better. Trey Murphy, all-star. Future all-star, we all think. That's why, like I said, there's a lot of hope that they can be like the Memphis Grizzlies from just, you know, last year. because they've got the talent, guys. They really do. They just need to fill in the holes in the roster where it just makes sense. Right? They try to make B, I, and Z work forever. It just obviously hasn't come together. Now they're going to go in a different direction, and that's what you get excited about. You think that if they plug some certain holes up a little bit more, why not be a 50-win team?
Ollie, definitely appreciate your time as always, and enjoy the game tonight. Hopefully, like we're talking about, they're at least competitive, and who knows, maybe pull an upset against the defending champs.
That'd be fun, right? Because Boston hasn't, let's face it, been playing the greatest ball over, what, the last month, month and a half. So you would feel better if Zion was playing. But again, what if CJ goes off for 50, Trey's there with 30? It could happen.
Right. What ifs? We'll play that game for sure. I appreciate the time, Ollie, as always. Thank you, man.
All right, guys. Have a good rest of your night.
Thanks, you too. I was Ollie Cosell, credentialed NBA writer in the Smoothie King Center. And, yeah, I'm curious to see when they do the shot of the crowd, how many of those green jerseys we're going to see out there.
We'll see. And you know, it is funny. I've watched a fair number of Celtics games this year, and the Celtics kind of feel like they're in the Nuggets mode. The year after the Nuggets who won the championship, it was like, well, we don't need to win 62 games every year, right? Like, we just need to be the one or the two or the three seed, and then we're going to go. Like, and the Celtics, I think they're just kind of dialing stuff in. Like, in order to go win 60, 70 games, you got to be on every night. And it's like, it's an 82-game season. Like, we're 33-15 right now. We're fine. You know, it's like, you don't we could be the one seed. The Cavs are way more invested in being the one seed right now. The Rockets are way more invested in being the one seed right now. And the Celtics are just kind of, like, hanging around, you know? So I think that does make them beatable. But I still think the Celtics are my team to win the whole thing.
I know you follow them pretty well. Are they doing – are they resting guys a lot during their stretch here?
No, the thing with the Celtics is, like, they built their whole thing on, we're going to shoot a heck ton of threes, like an insane number of threes, a level of threes to the point that there's going to be discourse around the NBA that we are ruining the game of basketball.
We got
to
move the line back.
Like, that's how many threes they're going to shoot. And then we're also going to play elite defense at all five positions. We're going to have five defensive stoppers, wings with long arms. We're going to get Drew Holiday. We're going to get Derek White, Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown. All these guys can defend every position. Put Kristaps Porzingis in there, and you won't be able to score. Now, the three part of that is going to be the same every night. You're going to rain threes on people.
Right.
The defensive energy and intensity over the course of an 82-game season is not going to be the same, but you're going to get them in the playoffs, and they're going to start playing playoff defense, and they're going to run roughshod through the Eastern Conference field, and it's going to be a question of, can the Cavs take them down? The Knicks are not going to compete. The Knicks do not have a chance to beat the Celtics in the playoffs. It's just going to be a question of whether the bigs in Cleveland can, you know, do enough, and the Donovan Mitchell can go off, because Donovan Mitchell is that type of scorer. But the Celtics are still the best team in the NBA, in my opinion.
Boston taking on the Pels. 6:30 pregame coverage, 7 o'clock tip-off. Catch it all on the Big 870 AM. We're going to take a break. Be back with more sports talk. Closing things out right after this on WWL. Oof, there's some bitterness on that Oakland Heart Jewelers talking text line, Jeff. Looking at 1-800 saying, didn't y'all say this crap about the Pelicans last year and the year before that? Hope. They suck.
They won 49 games last year.
49 game win season.
I mean,
that doesn't suck.
I guess. I did not say last year that they were bad and could use that as a launching pad for this year. I did not say that last year. I said they won 49 games. Hopefully they can get better. They didn't. Anyway.
Going to the Oakland Heart Jewelers talking text line, Larry from New Orleans wants to sound off. What you got for us today, Larry? How's your Friday going?
Baby, it's going good. Nice to hear both of y'all's voice. Thank y'all for checking me in, man. I appreciate it.
Appreciate you.
Happy Super Bowl week.
Thanks for calling in.
Getting back to what y'all was saying, young and old is only a number. It's what the guy can do for the Saints. And as long as Mickey Loomis is general manager, the Saints will never have nothing. He's getting his pockets full from Gale's money, and he don't care.
And I don't know about least, not caring.
Last but least, go Philadelphia. Y'all have a great day. I appreciate y'all. Love y'all.
Thanks for the call, Larry. Right, fly Eagles fly. I'm with you on that one, at least.
I'll challenge you that Mickey cares. Like, Mickey cares. He's invested. Now, you could disagree with the things that he does and the decisions that he makes, but He cares. There's no question that he cares. I think he cares even a little too much at times. But, you know, I get the frustration. I do. You know, you gotta fix this. You got to get back to the playoffs. You got to give people a reason to cheer. And you just haven't had it, you know? And I think any GM in the NFL, when you miss the playoffs 4 years in a row, you're going to get tough questions.
Yeah.
And the thing for Mickey this offseason, I don't know if people are satisfied with the answers. And, you know, if you don't get this coaching hire right, the answers won't really matter all that much, because then the direction is different. So
yeah, I get the anger too. You talk about the aging roster, and then all of a sudden, you know, the cap situation has been a problem for years, and we kept talking about, you know, kicking the can down the line.
Down the line.
Down the line, right?
We have found the end of the line, and it is here, and it's just a question of how you dial it back. The can is we put the lid is on the can. And how do you throw the can? You roll the can? I don't know. The can is not getting kicked anymore.
I do want to ask you, we were going to have like a Senior Bowl show today. We kind of glossed over that, didn't really get into things.
What's that?
Just wondering, you know, you were out there for some of those practices in Mobile.
I was.
What were some of the players that might have impressed you that could be, you know, potential on the Saints radar?
Oh, man, a lot of them. Jack Besh, I think, is elite. I think he's
the real deal.
I did not expect him to be as elite as he was in that setting. He was just mossing people. He made, like, Jalen Milroe did not play well. Like, right. He did not show well, but anytime he threw it to Jack Besh, it was like a 60-yard bomb. So Jack Besh, elite. Jaden Higgins, Iowa State wide receiver. He's going to make some team very, very happy. He's 6'3", moves really well. You know, I was watching him, and I was like, man, that guy must be small. Like Tez Walker, is that his name? Out of Oregon. He's like 5'9", 163, 156. And I was like, yeah, he's fast, but he's tiny. And I saw Jaden Higgins running, and I was like, he must be small because he's moving so well. He's going so fast. He's leaving people in the dust. 6'3", 210. So, like, you know, that's the type of body I want. Xavier Restrepo out of Miami, really impressive. You know, just that short area quickness guy, can get open in a phone booth. Really liked him. Dorian Strong, cornerback out of Virginia Tech, he's just glued to people. And I think he clocked in at like 21.6 miles per hour. He was like the third fastest player on the opening day. I don't know how the speeds tracked over the final 2 days.
Right.
But no, he, elite. And then I think probably Gray Zabel was the two players who I would put as like the MVPs. Gray Zabel, offensive line. Played all three interior line spots, dominated North Dakota State. Guys might not know him. He's going to be either a late first round, early second round pick.
Okay.
And then Elijah Arroyo, another guy, Miami. You just watch these Miami guys and you understand why Cam Ward was as dominant as he was, because he's thrown to these dudes. Elijah Arroyo, at one point, I thought he was a wide receiver because he was just running by people. You know, no one covered him all week. He's got size, 6'4", 250. So I think he has a chance. But that's who I would name.
Thanks for the quick wrap-up, Jeff. Had a fun Friday show, and we'll be back Monday from Radio Row at the Convention Center as we get ready for Super Bowl 59. Coming up at 6:30 on 870 AM pregame coverage, Pelicans taking on the Celtics. Stay tuned on WWL.